just finished celebrating Simchas Torah. And we finished the culmination of the five books of Moses. That's actually originally we only finished the Bible every three years. Originally there was a 3-year cycle. So let's say this coming Shabbos we're reading Bereishis. The next week we're reading Noach. It used to be for the next 3 weeks we'd read Bereishis, then 3 weeks Noach. It's not that they did a third of a portion every. They didn't do a third of Bereishis. No, they went in order, but they took, and it was a 3-year cycle. When the Jews moved to Babylonia with Ezra, that's when the cycle changed. They made an annual cycle that we finished the Bible after. So Simchas Torah is a relative, I mean, not new, because it's around a long time, but from historically speaking, that's why it's really, in Israel, you only have one day. It's called Shemini Atzeres, which is, and they only have one day. They do both. So it was just Shemini Atzeres, and then eventually became Simchas Torah also. So today, practically, obviously, it's been around for a long time, and in fact, that's one of the days most people know is Simchas Torah, and that's the day we finish reading the five books of Moses, and then we go back as well and begin Bereishis. So we know we have a tradition that God gave the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai, and that's he was up on the mount 40 days and 40 nights, and he taught him. So there's an interesting debate in the Talmud regarding who wrote the last 8 verses in the Bible. Like, why is there a specific debate on the last 8? What's so special about the last 8 verses, all the other ones? Because starting on the last 8, speaking of obituaries, it's the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Vayama Sham Moshe, and Moshe died. So the question is, can Moshe write his own obituary? In fact, it reminds me, I read an article a couple of years ago where I heard two things. One I heard recently is what happened was the one who did the Nobel Prize. So originally what happened was, I guess they made a mistake in the obituary, and he opened up the paper one day and was reading about his death. It was really his brother, and he realized, well, look what they're writing about me, because they made a lot of money with dynamite. That's how they made. And then I don't want to remember about someone who destroyed the world. After that, he invested his efforts in the Nobel Peace Prize. That was one story. But the other one is that someone actually faked their own death because they wanted to hear their own eulogy, see what they'd say about them. But either way, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't fake it. So the question is, could he write? In other words, we know the Torah is the truth. So did he write the who? So that's a debate, who's the choice. The one opinion was Joshua wrote it. Obviously, Moshe was dead, so obviously Moses can't write it. They say Joshua wrote it. And the other opinion says, no, Moses did write it. But how could he write he's dead while he's alive? So they point out, no, he wrote it. So the Gemara is very vague. It says he wrote it in tears while he was crying. So the different interpretations, what exactly does that mean exactly? So according to the Vilna Gaon, one of the great rabbis of all time, he explains we have a principle in the Bible, in the Talmud, that Elo ve'elo divro kim chayim, that when we talk about the Torah is a dynamic, it's a living life. In other words, when you're following Jewish law, you'll have a debate, but you have to follow someone. Like, you can't say, so we follow different opinions, but it's not that one opinion's wrong or right. They're both part of the different elements of the Bible. So he says, really, they both wrote it. So what does it mean? Because originally the Torah was like names of God. So whatever it looked like, it was one long run-on sentence. And Joshua came by later, and he filled in the dots. He made them into the sentences. So really. So Moses wrote down the letters, but not writing the way we read it today. And Moses and Joshua kind of fine-tuned it, put in here's the dots and new, you know, new words, etc. But either way, it says he. So well, whoever did it, clearly, the Talmud says the eight verses are different. Whether Moses wrote them differently, and or so what's the and so what's the difference? So the Talmud has an interesting law. It says, you know what? Usually, when we read the Torah, we need a congregation there. If I'm home alone, I don't take out a Torah scroll and read it. I mean, I could read it if it's studying, but I don't read it and make a blessing on the Torah scroll. So the Talmud writes, even an individual on his own could take out the last eight verses and make a blessing on it. So like, how come? So if you assume Joshua wrote it, so I understand it's different than the rest of the Bible. But if you tell me Moses wrote it, why should it be different? So the commentators explain is because what happened? Why do we read the Torah at all? We want to remember what happened on Mount Sinai with God and Moses. So when Moses came down, he went ahead and he taught it to the Jewish people. God told it to Moshe. Moshe told it to the Jewish people. Then he wrote it down. However, what happened for the last eight verses was God taught it to Moses, but Moses, he wasn't going to go around telling everyone, by the way, I'm dead now or I'm dying. So Moses wrote it down and it was taught later on. So since by the whole Torah it was given publicly, so we read it publicly, but Moses taught the last eight verses privately because he's not going to publicize his death that didn't happen yet. So therefore, we do it the way it was given. So that's a whole discussion on the last eight verses. And how does the Bible end? It ends, it seems to be an anti-climax. It ends with Moses breaking the tablets. It says, Ene kol Yisrael, Moses taking the tablets. It reminds me, of course, a joke about the tablets. There was that there was a school in Israel, but it could be anywhere in Israel. I saw it was a Hebrew comic, so it was about Israel, but you could change the names. That basically the comic strip went as follows. This principal, or I should say, the Jewish agency of education was going around to different, like you have people coming here to check health standards, or like every school, you make sure they're following the education practices. So the person went to visit the school. It was an elementary school. So he figures he sees some kid in the hallway. He'll just ask him like a simple question just to see like what they're teaching here. So he said to him in Hebrew, and I'll translate. He said, Yeled, mi shiber es haluchos. Child, who broke the tablets? Who broke the luchos? You know, he's referring to Moses, to the guy like, sees a stranger, he gets scared. He says, Lo ani, lo ani. It wasn't me, it wasn't me. He thought the guy was accusing him of breaking something. So he goes to another student, same thing. So he comes running into the principal and says, What's going on here? You're telling me you're teaching, you have these, all this amount you're teaching. So he says, I went to the kid, I said, Yell at me, and he says, go on me. So the principal said, don't worry. I know this kid. He's very honest. If he said he didn't break the luchos, he didn't break the luchos. So it's one thing the kids didn't know anything, but the principal didn't know either. And then he's getting fed up with the reporter. He says, just tell me how much they cost and I'll pay you for them. Just get out of here. But either way, that's how the joke goes. But so what's the message? What's the message how the Torah ends? And what's the message how the Torah begins? Because the Torah begins with Bereishis Bara Elokim, that if you take it literally, the beginning created God, which is heresy because God always was. God created the world. So why is the Torah written in a way where it could be misinterpreted? Like it should have just said, Elokim bara bereshis. It should have said, God created the world. What do you mean, bereshis bara Elokim? So why is it written in a way that's a little unclear? And we need, so Rashi writes in the first, in, not the first Rashi, but one of the first ones in the Chumash, he writes, we have four levels of understanding every verse. There's the simple reading of the verse. It's called Pardes, which means orchard. So the Pei in Pardes stands for Pshat, the simple explanation. The Resh is Rem, is an allusion. The Dalet Drush is the homiletics. And so it is like mystical stuff. So every verse has four understandings, from a simple explanation to a mystical one. So the question is, so if you're starting a building, if you're building, you have to build the foundation. If your foundation's no good, you can put in all the Band-Aids in the world. You know, you have an infection, let me put a band, that's not going to help. You got to deal with the infection. So if you're building a house or building anything, you got to build the foundation. So if you would think, if you're starting a verse in the Bible, start with one that I could understand on every level. Why would I take a verse which makes no sense? In fact, it's heretical. Is that the way to start a Bible? So the commentators explain, because as we know in Judaism, one of the fundamental differences between Judaism and Christianity, all other religions, is they believe, you know, we say the Judeo-Christian value system. What do we mean by that? We both believe in the Old Testament. That's when we have, and we share similar values. But they move on, they go to the New Testament, which we don't go with, but we go with the oral law. That the oral, when Moses was on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights, it says keep the Sabbath. Okay, what does that mean? Should I play golf today? Should I rock? So whatever it means, so we have the whole list of what does kosher mean? If this tells me what a kosher, how do I slaughter the animal? What do I do with? So basically what the Bible is telling is, don't think for a second you could just start reading the Bible literally and know what's going on. That's what other religions, but you have to go to the oral law. So I don't even want you to, so when we begin the Torah, I'm going to give you a verse that says you can't even understand it literally. It doesn't make any sense. And how does the Bible end? Because what is the lesson of the tablets? That when God gave Moses the Bible on Mount Sinai, so 40 days and 40 nights, he taught it to him. And then he comes down, and what does he see? The Jews are worshiping the golden calf. So God didn't tell Moses. Moses took the tablets and broke them on his own. He didn't ask God. And maybe he could have got punished for it. But what did God say? This is where you get the phrase, like in synagogue, Yashar Koach, Yashar Koach. That's where it's in the Talmud. God says to Moses, Yashar Koach, good work. You did well. You broke the tablets. So this is one of the things that Moses did on his own. Moses hosif midaito. In other words,
why did he do well by breaking the tablets?
No,
God must have missed something. Why was he told he did well by breaking the tablets?
Because God decided he did well. Because he saw the Jews worshiping idols, and therefore
he did the right thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, he did well, meaning not. Right, if he just came down and broke the tap, that'd be terrible, right, 100%. Under that scenario, you know, he did the right thing. That's what it means. So, but the point was, Moses on his own figured out what the right thing was without God telling him. So the point...
How did we preserve the tablets then if they were broken? Excellent
question. So Moses went back up, and then we came down on Yom Kippur, and he gave the second tablets, and that's why Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. That's what, yeah. What happened to the broken tablets is a whole discussion. That's a separate lecture. So what happened to the second tablets, and what's the significance of the broken tablets? But so either way, so that's what happened was, it's the same lesson. How do we end the Bible? By showing you need the oral law. Like the Luchos represent that Moses on his own was able to interpret what's proper, what isn't. And the whole oral law explains all our commandments, Shabbos, kosher. And in fact, that's what they say. We have a verse that says, Yom Hashishi, that God created, it says, God created the heavens and earth, you know, and it says, and it says, that God made a stipulation with the world. That what's the sixth day? What's the significance of the sixth day? Hashishi, the sixth day, because on the sixth day of the month of Sivan was the day we got the Torah, Shavuos. That's the holiday 50 days after Passover when we got the Bible. So he says, God made a stipulation with the heavens and earth. If the Jewish people accept the Torah later on, then I will keep the world going. If not, I'm going to turn it back to nothingness. That was the stipulation. So let me ask you something. Did Moses give the Bible to the Jews on the sixth day? Nope, he did not. He said, no Torah to thee. Moses on his own, based on different reasons, he gave it on the seventh day. He gave it on the next day. So how come we're here now? The world should have been destroyed. The answer is no. He gave us God told him to teach us the Torah of the oral law. The Torah, the written law is a closed book without the oral law. So even though it's true Judeo-Christian value system, but our theology is totally different. They go with the New Testament. Other religions go with the Quran. But in Judaism, everything's based on the written law, but it's only based on a tradition from Moses, the 40 days and 40 nights that he taught, that we're able to keep Judaism. Without any details of the oral law, we'd have no idea, you know, how to keep anything. And that's the lesson. That's how the Torah ends, with Moses breaking Moses on his own, the significance of the oral law. And that's why the Bible specifically picked a verse where you can't understand it literally. Don't think for a second you could just start reading the literal verses and understand what's going on. You have to go into all the commentary and understand, go into all the, whether it's the creation of the world and everything between Bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. And we go through, as we go through, starting this week with Bereshis, and we go through all the parshas, we have to go through not just reading the literal, but we have to go through all the commentary and try to understand, you know, the significance, meaning, and messages of the five books of Moses. And that's why when we celebrate Simchas Torah, obviously we're not just celebrating we finished, but what are we celebrating? Now that we begin Bereshis, we're certainly a year older, hopefully a year wiser. And the same way I look, this, you could be a 5-year-old kid looking at Bereshis, or you could be a 90-year-old, but your life experience, you're a year smarter, so now when you read the Bible, you can have you could be a Vilna Gaon, and you could be a 5-year-old child, because the Torah, that's why the Torah is called the Shira. Torah is called the song. It's like a song, it's for everyone. No matter what, everyone loves music, whether you're 2 or whether you're 20, 40, 50, 80, whatever it is. The Torah is called the Shira, a Torah is for everyone. Of course, everyone on their own level. There's beginners, intermediate, advanced, but that's why you could learn. How could it be? I learned the portion last year. What am I wasting my time again? Then no, you should have a new insight into something you didn't, something you learned over the year. Oh, now the light bulb goes. Oh, now I understand. Now, because you know, with your own personal experience, you know, reading, you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of different experiences. One we might do without, how to live in a infectious disease, you know, but we all have different experiences all the time, and those are the things we have to take with us. And every week, it's a Torah Chaim. It's not just a history book. It's a way of life. And we take and we learn the messages and we make them relevant to everyday life and how we live our daily lives. So that's what we have to do, starting with new beginnings every year. Coming this week, Shabbos Bereshis, and it's the new month as well coming up. Sunday and Monday is Rosh Chodesh. We'll be finishing the month of Tishrei with all the holidays. And we're moving into the next month, Cheshvan, which is known as, it's called Mar Cheshvan. Mar means bitter. Why is it bitter? At least because we don't have any holidays in it. So, in fact, it was funny because I won some, and some, you know, some might be different definitions of bitter. But it was funny because I went right after, a couple years ago, I went to Israel right after Sukkot. And I went, I was taking a cab home, getting home from the, taking from the airport, whatever it was, and I was asking him how business was. He says, it's very bad this month because everyone comes to Israel for Sukkot, and now there are no holidays, so I get very less visitors. So I said, oh, that's what it means, Mar Cheshvan. See, for the cab drivers, they have, it's very, so unfortunately.
What kind of exams do you need to pass to become a rabbi and to be so well-versed? I don't know.
That would be a problem.